Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Today I would like us to complete our insights into the second part of what John the Baptist proclaims concerning Jesus Christ. Remember our text. John chapter 1 verse 29 reads, "The next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" We have broken down these incredible words into three parts and discussed part one, sin of the world. And we're nearly finished with part two, the Lamb of God. Next time we will take up part three, takes away. Jesus takes away sin, and we will see how he does that. Stay tuned. Concerning the Lamb of God, the Baptist name or title for the Lord Jesus, author A.W. Pink draws our attention to the Lamb in all of Scripture being typified, prophesied, applied, personified, identified, magnified, and glorified. We've already covered most of these and are left with the Lamb being identified, magnified, and glorified. Today I want to take us into Isaiah for a reminder, then the book of John briefly, and finally into the final book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. I want to read from there in a moment. Isaiah 53, 7. As I read, listen for the pronoun he, because he is referring to none other than Jesus Christ. And Jesus is, of course, a person. Hence, the Lamb is now personified. So this is Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah is a prophet, and here Isaiah foretells the crucifixion of Jesus in the future. The New Testament Gospels tell us Isaiah's prophecy is exactly correct. The point here is that the lamb animal that was sacrificed for the sins of the Jewish people was only symbolic, but Jesus, the perfect person, makes the sacrifice literal, real, eternally effective, and everlasting. God required his son, the perfect human person, to die, to be sacrificed for our sins. A lamb animal was never adequate for the forgiveness of sins. The lamb animal is merely a symbol of Jesus. Jesus is literally the lamb, and his death takes away sin. The Old Testament lamb animal only represented Jesus. The lamb is really a person. The lamb is personified in Christ. And check the Gospels. Christ was oppressed and afflicted. Jesus was silent. He did not open his mouth, and he was slaughtered. Our next word is identified. The lamb in the Bible is identified. And we don't need to spend any time on this one because we have already invested much time and attention here. The passage Arthur Pink had in mind is John 1 verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus is the Lamb of God. And it is John the Baptist who identifies Christ as such. The Lamb is personified and identified, and now the Lamb is magnified and glorified. For this, we come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The crescendo of Scripture and the final of the 66 books that make up the Word of God. For years, I taught this book chapter by chapter and verse by verse in a 90-minute adult discussion group every Sunday morning before our church's worship services. Months were spent in Revelation chapter 5. I am literally going to spend minutes with you here today. So just keep that in mind when you hear me describe what the Lamb being magnified and glorified means. There's a lot to this, but we only have time today to skim the surface. A lot of you don't have access to a Bible now as you listen and do other things, but for those of you able to open the text, please turn to Revelation chapter 5. The revelation of Jesus Christ is written by the Apostle John. He is the same John who wrote the Gospel according to John, as well as 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And earlier in the revelation, we learn that the Holy Spirit is giving him a vision of heaven. And John sees and then writes in vivid color what he is seeing. In chapter 5, he mentions the Lamb in verse 6, but I want to take us down to verse 11. Notice that the word Lamb is spelled with a capital L. Why? Because the Lamb is a person, Jesus Christ. I'm reading now Revelation chapter 5 and verses 11 through 14. Let this seep into your mind and into your heart. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 5, and verses 11 through 14. The Lamb of God, Jesus, is being magnified. He's being worshipped. The angels, the living creatures, the elders, the myriads of myriads, the thousands of thousands, they extol the Lamb. They honor the Lamb. They make the Lamb great. They celebrate the Lamb in praise. Oh, how worthy he is. He is to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing and dominion forever and ever. And notice verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," killed. That's Jesus, all right. You have to know Jesus. You must know Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Come and let's worship him forever. Get started today. This is a vision of heaven. This is eternity set before us. But in order to enjoy this forever, you must begin in worship of Christ today. Here, right there where your feet are planted. Do not delay. Cast yourself on the mercy of God in Jesus and believe in him for the forgiveness of your sins. Whatever you have done, he will forgive you. Well, this is my appeal to you if you're not yet a Christian. You already are a Christian? Then get your eyes off yourself and off of others and lift your eyes to Christ. Do not be so self-obsessed. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worship him, brother and sister. Join with the angels, the living creatures, the elders, the myriads of myriads, the thousands of thousands as they honor the Lamb. Don't wait for Sunday's worship service. Get right down on your knees where you are and praise him. Worship him. Worship him every day. Worship him today. The Lamb is magnified. And finally, the Lamb is glorified. Revelation 22 and verse 1. Let me read this to you. "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb." There he is again, Jesus, the Lamb of God. He is on the throne. Jesus is God. The Lamb is glorious. Jesus is glory. From Genesis 4, when the Lamb is typified, to Revelation 22, when the Lamb is glorified. Indeed, the Lamb is very important to the testimony of Scripture. And isn't it incredible that God can take a little lamb animal, something we can understand, and use it as a symbol for Jesus Christ such that we can get it? Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is our Savior from sin. Indeed, the Lamb is typified, prophesied, applied, personified, identified, magnified, and glorified. Before I sign off, I have to make an important announcement for those of you listening from prisons and jails. When you write to me, and I hope you will write, when you do, it is crucial that you clearly identify to me your name and mailing address exactly as the prison or jail you live in requires it. Recently, I have had my letters to you returned to me, and I cannot figure out what I did wrong when I addressed these for you. In particular, Latina, listening on KDIA in San Francisco. I have written to you, but my letter keeps getting returned. Can you please write me again with very specific instructions of how to reach you? Thank you. Latina and others of you incarcerated, when you write to my post office box, please be very clear about how my return letter can reach you. Frankly, I feel bad that you might think I don't write back, when I always do. For the rest of you, please pray alongside me for Christians in prison and ask the Lord to encourage them. Pray for incarcerated unbelievers to be saved, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's remember to pray for those in prison. And please be with us next time as we continue to learn what Jesus taking away sin means. And that's next time on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.